Welcome to Gateway's podcast. We hope God speaks to you through this message from Pastor Don Brock. For more information about Gateway, please visit www.gatewaybc.com.
As we continue our study in how to be stronger in your walk with the Lord and how to be stronger in who you are in life, one of the most essential things about finding strength is by finding your place in the body of Christ. Just finding out who God's created you to be and then finding that place within the context of the body of Christ. And if you really want to know how to become all that God wants for you to be, if you want to know who God has created you to be and what it means to be a part of the body, well, then the Bible is going to answer those questions today. Is going to tell you some of those steps that we take to find that place. Because when I find my place, that's where I find strength. When I find my place, that's where I find strength. The first step of finding strength and being stronger is you begin with the dedication of your life, of your body. And that's what we've been studying in Romans chapter 12. So Romans 12, 1 again, it says, "And so, dear brothers and sisters, I plead with you to give your bodies to God because of all He has done for you." So He tells you what to do, and He gives you the motivation to do it. And so basically He's saying to me, let's just think about what all God's done for you, Don. Well, He's made it so that you get to go to heaven. Now, that's as good as it gets. Now, if you're one of those people that have to be motivated negatively, well, then let's put it this way. He made it so I don't have to go to hell. So that's just as good. Now, here's the deal. That's what's going to happen, but it doesn't. That's just not the whole story. He's got so much for right here and right now, and He wants me to find my place for the here and now. If all it was for me to get to go to heaven, then as soon as you pray to receive Christ, why didn't God just take you right to heaven? He leaves us here for a reason. And one of the reasons is to find our place in the body of Christ so that we can fulfill the purpose He has for us. So He says, give your bodies to God. That's where I start. That's the very first step when I say, okay, I've given you my soul, I've given you my spirit, but now I've got to give you my body, the temporary part of me. You see, my soul and spirit is for eternity. I've given that to Him, and I've trusted my eternal soul to Him for heaven. But now He's saying, I want you to give me your temporary, your body. That's not going to last. That's just for this lifetime. But I want you to give that to me as well. So that means there's a reason why I'm here. There's a purpose for me why I am here. And you know, it's interesting to me that it's much easier to dedicate our soul and our spirit to Holy God than it is to give Him our body. Isn't that interesting that we're willing to trust Him with what lasts for eternity, and we struggle to trust Him with what lasts just for a brief period of time? Isn't that interesting? I can trust Him with my eternal soul, but God, I'm not so sure you know what you're doing when it comes to the here and now. That's basically what I'm saying to Him. And just hearing me say that sounds foolish. But that's what we say with our actions. God, I trust you for heaven. I've trusted you for forgiving me of my sins and giving me eternal life. But I better take charge of the here and now, the temporary, what I do down here. Because I know what's best. Now, you may not say that with your words, but we say it with our actions all the time. That's what we say to God. I know what's best. I know what will make me happy. I know what I want to do. So the first step, I've got to dedicate my body, my temporary, to Him. The second step, I have to eliminate competing distractions. Now, this is a little tougher because most of the competing distractions are good things. It's like there's not a moral issue. It's not something that's wrong with it, but it competes for my time and my attention. The Bible says in Romans 12:2, don't copy the behaviors and customs of the world. Don't get sucked in to the way the world lives life. So if I dedicate my body, and then I've got to remove the distraction of wanting to be like everybody else, wanting to be, and I want to fit in the crowd. I want to belong. I want to feel like I'm a part of the world. And he's saying, don't conform that. Don't copy that. And if you say no to that, then you're saying yes to letting God transform, rewire your thinking. So it starts with me saying, okay, I'm going to give you my temporary, I've trusted you with my eternal life, I want to give you my temporary life, my body. And now I want to say no to all the things that the world's trying to drag me into, of what it means to be successful, of what it, I mean, the world has this definition of what success is and what happiness is. And God is basically saying, you know what? You need to listen to my definition of those things. You need to listen to what I have to say about that. So I have to eliminate competing distractions. And boy, they're out there. I mean, just look at your schedule now. We live in such a hectic lifestyle. I mean, our calendars are so full of things. And good things. Not that there's anything wrong with it, except that it keeps us from the best thing. The third thing I have to do, I've got to evaluate, I've got to have an honest evaluation of my strengths. Who God's made me to be. Now, let's look at Romans 3, 12, 3. Because of the privilege and authority God has given me, I give each of you this warning. Okay, so this is a warning. That means pay attention. Don't think you are better than you really are. Be honest in your evaluation of yourself. Measuring yourselves by the faith God has given us. Well, let's just unpackage that for a minute. He's saying, look, you need to be realistic about what God's done in your life. You need to know your strengths. You need to know your weaknesses. You need to evaluate what God has given you. And God has given you certain spiritual gifts. And so often we spend our time and energy focusing on our weaknesses, trying to be better at what we're not really gifted at. We have no energy or time left to focus on what we are gifted with. So I've got to be honest and have an honest evaluation about myself. It says be honest in your evaluation of yourselves. And there's a couple of ways you evaluate yourself. One, through what the Bible says. So when I read what the Bible says I ought to do and how I ought to live, I measure my life based on that. So I say, is that true of me? Am I doing that I'm supposed to be, what I'm supposed to be doing? Or is that true of me? I'm doing what I shouldn't be doing. I have to be honest about that. So I use the Bible. I use prayer. I talk to God about it. I say, okay, God, you tell me what I need to work on. And you know what? Every time I've ever prayed that prayer, I pray the last two verses in Psalms 139 on a regular basis. Lord, search me and know my heart. Test me and try me and see if there's any hurtful thing in me. I've yet, you know, I'm 62 years old. I've yet to have God come back and say, oh, no, Don, you're doing great. Keep it up. I mean, there's always been something that God says, well, we got an attitude over here we need to work on. And you got a little laziness going on over here. We need to work on that. And you're not really being honest about this in your life. And I mean, but here's what I'm thankful about with God. God graciously measures the things he chooses to tell me. I mean, let's face it. If God took a spiritual floodlight and showed you everything that was wrong in your life, I don't know about you, but me, I would just want to curl up in a fetal position and die. I would just like, oh my goodness, I am hopeless. But God is gracious, and he graciously shines a narrow beam at just a few areas at a time. And so he says, okay, Don, I want you to work on this. And now I want you to work on this. And now I want to teach you this truth. You see, he's gracious about that because he knows how frail we really are. And, I mean, you know how it is in a relationship. If you just unload and tell somebody everything that you think is wrong with them, that's pretty much going to do their relationship end. I mean, it's going to come to an end. God's gracious with us. And so he's saying, I want you to be honest with yourself. So you do it by studying the Bible. You do it by talking to God. And you also do it by talking to trusted, mature friends. People that you can trust, people that are mature, that you can say to them, say, you know what, I'm really wanting to go to the next level in my walk with Jesus, and I would be interested in hearing your observations. What do you think my strengths are? Now, that's not for an ego thing. That's not to stroke your ego, but that's just being honest. I'd like your honest evaluation of what you think my strengths are. But I also want to know what you think my weaknesses are. Now, if the weakness is a sin issue, then yeah, you got to work on that. But if a weakness is just things you're not good at, you don't need to worry about that. You need to focus on what you are good at, what God has created you to be, and that's where you put your energy. Because see, whenever I try to focus on what I'm not gifted at doing, it takes a lot more energy. It takes a lot more discipline to do that, so when it comes to doing what I truly am gifted to do, I don't have any energy or time left. So God is, listen, you don't have to apologize for what God has not given you, but embrace what he has given you. What your spiritual gift is, embrace that. So evaluate your strengths. Be honest about it. Number four, cooperate with other believers. Now, this is where it gets a little more challenging. In verse 4 and 5, it says, just as your bodies have many parts, and each part has a special function, so it is with Christ's body. That's us. We are Christ's body. We are many parts, many individuals, but one body. And we all, now this is interesting, we all belong to each other. I mean, just like your physical body, my hand belongs to the rest of my body, and my right hand and my left hand, they need each other. And I mean, every part of my body, they need each other, they belong to each other. And when one's not operating the way it should, then it create some problems. You know, we've had some people in our fellowship, and some of you sitting in this room, you've dealt with strokes. And a stroke will harm a part of the body, and sometimes you get over it and you get full use of that body part, but sometimes you don't. And so there are people in our fellowship, they might have a limb that doesn't operate the way it should. And it causes the rest of the body to compensate. And it's a challenge for them. So like if if you've got a limb, say you've had a stroke that's affected your right arm, and you just don't have use of this right hand, you know, doing simple things like tying your shoe and getting dressed become much more difficult. The rest of your body has to compensate somehow, or you need help from other people to do certain things. So we belong to each other. We need each other. Every single believer who chooses not to use their spiritual gift in the context of the body of Christ, it's like the body has had a stroke and there's part of the body that's not functioning and the rest of the body has to compensate. When you choose not to find your spiritual gift and use that spiritual gift, it's harming the rest of us. We pay a price. And it limits what we're able to do in the community. It limits the full capacity of what we're capable of doing. Now, here are just some implications of Paul's anatomy lesson. So write these things down. Every believer is a minister. Every believer. If you have prayed to receive Christ in your life, you are a minister. Some of you have got this idea it's just a paid position at church. That's just not true. You are a minister. Every believer has a different function. Now, you might have the same spiritual gift as someone else, but your function is going to be different in how you might use that gift. But every believer has a different function, so you have an important part. Every ministry is important, even the ones you're not aware of. Like, for example, there's a group of ladies over in the children's building that care for the crib babies. They're newborns or they're less than a year old. They're totally helpless. They need everything done for them. Parents need to feel safe with who they entrust their child to. And so by them being the kind of people that they are over there, they are so loving. They love those kids. They adore those kids. And when a parent comes in and meets those people, they immediately feel safe. And they said, oh, my kid's going to get the attention as if they're the only one in here. And that's how a parent wants to feel. So that allows the parent then to come and go to worship and go to life group. It allows the parent to do that and not worry. Now, you don't probably give any thought, unless you have a kid over there, you don't give any thought to the fact that there are a group of ladies right now over there caring for those babies. But that is an important ministry and a very important job. And there are a lot of jobs like that that you just don't pay attention to. Some jobs, some responsibilities are more apparent and you see it, but so many of them are behind the scenes you don't see it. But every single one is vital. It's important. It's crucial. And then the last thought is every believer must cooperate. Here's what I mean by that. You're a part of the body, and we need each other. Some people, they like to go and do their thing, but they want to do it isolated from everybody else because they don't want anybody telling them what to do, or they don't want to be accountable. They just want to do their thing, and so they'll separate themselves from the rest of the body. Well, that is a dangerous place to be. First of all, gets you out from under the umbrella of protection of being a part of the family, that we protect each other. It puts you in a position of maybe heading in some directions that have dangers that you're just not aware of. But by being a part of the body, you know, if I decide to close my eyes while I'm driving, I'm setting myself up for a disaster because it's my eyes that tell me what lies ahead and whether something is dangerous or not, whether there's a curve coming or whether there's a car stalled or whether it's somebody driving erratically. So my body needs my eyes to help protect the rest of the body. So when you separate yourself from the body and just do your own thing, you're putting yourself in a dangerous position because the rest of the body helps protect you. So be cautious about that. We need each other. And we need to cooperate with each other and help each other. And then the last step, once you've dedicated your body, and once you've eliminated some distractions, and once you have honestly evaluated your strengths, and once you have decided to cooperate with other believers in helping you figure out your spiritual gifts, then you activate that spiritual gift. You do something with it. Listen to this in Romans 12, 6 and 8. In His grace, God has given us different gifts for doing certain things well. So it's His decision. You didn't earn it. You didn't deserve it. It's not based on who you are. It's based on who God is. So God has chosen what spiritual gifts you have. And every single believer has at least one spiritual gift. Sometimes you have more than one. But that's God's calling. Oh, and no one believer has all the gifts. No one believer has all the spiritual gifts. So God has given us different gifts for doing certain things well. So if God has given you the ability to prophesy, then speak out with as much faith as God has given you. So you don't even, I mean, that's interesting. He's saying if God has given you this, then do it under His power. So God has done this. Now draw from Him and His power to do that thing. That's pretty cool. I mean, my part is to give myself. He supplies the gift and the power to activate the gift. It all comes from Him. So He says, if you have that ability, speak out with as much faith as God has given you. If your faith is serving others, guess what? Serve them well. If you are a teacher, teach well. Now, see, this is another thought about doing it or not practicing your gift. You may say, well, we got a lot of teachers in our church, so they don't really need me. That's where you're making a mistake. You see, if you have the spiritual gift of teaching and you're not teaching, then that means there is a group of believers who are not getting what God wants to give them through you that they're not going to get somewhere else. Because there are certain things that God wants to teach them through you. And so when you're not practicing your gift, people are impacted. Then it says, if your gift is to encourage others, be encouraging. Do it. If it is in giving, then give generously. If God has given you leadership ability, then take the responsibility seriously. And if you have a gift for showing kindness to others, do it gladly. The list goes on. There's so many other spiritual gifts. But the basis for it is in that very first phrase, in His grace, in verse 6. So the basis of spiritual gifts is grace, God's grace, His decision. Now, in your notes, I always give you other verses to look at, and normally I just would let you look at that on your own, but I do feel we need to go to 1 Peter. It's not going to be on the screen, but 1 Peter chapter 4, beginning at verse 10, I want you to see this, and you see how the Bible encourages the same truth in multiple places. So 1 Peter chapter 4, beginning at verse 10. It says, God has given each of you a gift from His great variety of spiritual gifts. His call. He makes that decision. Use them well to serve one another, not to serve yourself. Your gift is never meant to be hoarded. Your gift is never meant to be for self-gain or spotlight, putting the spotlight on you. It's meant to serve other people. Verse 11, do you have the gift of speaking? Then speak as though God Himself were speaking through you. That's pretty serious, isn't it? Do you have the gift of helping others? Do it with all the strength and energy that God supplies. Then everything you do, now here's what I want you to see. Then everything that you do will bring glory to God through Jesus Christ. So get this picture. Here you are, a saved person. You're going to go to heaven. All your sins have been forgiven, but you're not here just to do as you please. You're to dedicate your body to Him. God decides what spiritual gift He's going to give you. He gives you that spiritual gift. And not only that, He gives you all the power to use that spiritual gift. He gives you everything that you need to put that spiritual gift into action. And it's not for you to get the spotlight. It's for you then to be able to worship Him by giving Him all the glory. So you're using your spiritual gift is actually an act of worship because it allows you to give glory to Holy God. Isn't that cool? God's given me a means by which to glorify Him, and He supplies everything that I need to do that. He gives me the gift. He gives me the energy. He gives me the faith. He gives me everything I need to take that spiritual gift, to use it to benefit other people, and to give glory to Him. I'm just a conduit for God's glory. Did you just hear that? You are a conduit from which God's glory can pass through you to benefit other people. How amazing is that? How amazing is that? That God is willing to allow His glory to pass through your life towards someone else. Wow. He's trusting me with quite a bit. He's trusting you with a whole lot. His glory. And that's worship. You're worshiping Holy God when you do that. Are you a taker or are you a giver? The purpose of the spiritual gifts is so that the body of Christ may be built up and to promote unity within the church, to promote unity within our fellowship. You see, God wants us to be a healthy body, a healthy church, so that we can make a difference in this community. So here's your responsibility concerning spiritual gifts. Examine. What spiritual gifts do I have? Experiment. Take that spiritual gift and try different ministries. You see, you can use your spiritual gift in lots of different ministries. So you experiment and you say, well, I have this gift. I'm going to try it over here. That doesn't fit. That doesn't feel right. So I'm going to try it over here. And then all of a sudden the lights and bells and whistles go off and you say, wow, this is it. You know, I mean, I was using my gift in both places, but in this ministry, it's where it's activated. So I'm really wired for this. So you experiment and then you exercise. You utilize your spiritual gift for the benefit of others. I'm going to make a suggestion to you. Failure to use your spiritual gift, it weakens. And I think you could possibly get to the point where God even puts it on the shelf. That He even puts you on the shelf. I mean, at some point God may say, you know what, Don, you think this is all about you? You think I gave you life so that you could just do whatever you want and be happy? I gave you life and I gave you purpose and I gave you meaning, but you're so bent on doing what you want. And I'm not going to let you use your spiritual gift for selfish means. I'm going to take it away from you. I'm not going to let you do any more damage in the kingdom. I'm going to stick you on the shelf. That's a sad place to be. But that's how serious God is about this, because it's dealing with His glory. He takes this very serious. So therefore, I should. He left us here for a purpose, for a reason. I need to know what that is. So what does this mean for us to be a New Testament church? It means that we take these things very serious. I made a couple of statements that are just statements about our structure. Look at the four of them. We believe that the church is an organism, not an organization. So therefore, we function as a body, not as a business. We believe the church is to operate on the basis of spiritual gifts, not offices and position. So whenever we look at a position somebody should be in, the decision's made on their spiritual gift. And that determines whether they ought to be in that place or not. When we become, when the organization becomes the central thing, then we evolve into just maintaining ourselves. But when we realize that we are focused on spiritual gifts, we streamline the structure so that we can maximize our spiritual gifts and maximize our impact in this community. So we're not here to take care of ourselves. We take care of ourselves, but it's not about that. We take care of ourselves so that we can be healthy and go out and make a difference in our world. And lastly, we believe that in the church, everybody that's a believer is a minister. Every single one of you. Doesn't matter how old you are. Age has nothing to do with it. If you're a believer, you're a minister. And the pastors, myself and the other pastors, our job is to equip and to administrate the spiritual gifts. So we equip you to utilize your spiritual gift and to make a difference in this community. So my question is, have you taken the first step yet? Have you dedicated your body to Him yet? Have you dedicated this temporary life here to Him yet? Have you said, God, it's whatever you want? Do you know what your spiritual gift is? Are you maturing it? Are you activating it? Are you using it? Are you functioning in the body of Christ? Let's pray.